Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. I was just asking Wheels if we had any sports news today, and he said, not really, but sort of. So there's online sports news.
Well, there's video game sports news.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
So all of us that are the gamer nerds that play sports games are excited because the new MLB The Show is coming out. So it was like 2 weeks. It's like the 19th, I think. March 19th is when it comes out. And they've added a story mode this year where you can play as a girl. You can become a girl pursuing a career as a professional baseball player.
Because they call it career mode or whatever.
They have all these different modes, right? You got franchise mode. You've got the story mode where you play as like a high school person who's drafted and you go through the minor leagues and you work your way up, all this stuff. Well, they've created a story mode where you can play as a girl. And you can be a girl who's trying to become a baseball player. And there are lots of dudes very mad, like really mad. And if I could sum up the thought, it's there's two really that are pervasive. One is like literally who even asked for this is like one of the arguments. And then the other one is it's not realistic. It's a video game where you can create yourself and put yourself in the major leagues. But it's not realistic if you have a mode where you can play as a lady.
There's a guy I know who tweeted, and it's a great tweet. I know it's a little out of market, but just trust me, this is funny. He says, "That's unrealistic," I scream as I begin my quest to win a 10th consecutive World Series with the White Sox. They don't ever win. So that's the joke.
Yeah.
Like it said Pirates.
Yeah, there is a couple
but it's
of
a
really
great joke.
The replies though I think are making up for the stupidity because there's stuff like that and I saw a guy who threw the video out there of somebody who had created themselves at like 5'8" and 250 pounds, like being super fat but really awesome, like 83 home runs in the season, and there are things you can unlock that are like visuals that are not realistic, right? Like he had the ability to slide into home but basically fly for the last 30 feet, and this guy is like, it's not realistic, and he plays this video. It's really great.
That's really something.
It is really weird that you would be mad about that, right? I mean, there were people that were angry. Like and the most common one is like, nobody's asking for this. I'm like, well,
then don't play it.
Then that's not a part of the central thing. You can play all of the ways you've always played without this even impacting you. But the fact that this is a possibility somehow has enraged some dudes.
I think it's because historically women have been in power and run things.
Yeah,
so
you know
it is.
That's
this.
True. You know,
tired
gotta,
of it.
You got to give guys.
You gotta leave
one
something
thing.
For. I actually saw this tweet. Are they just going to leave anything for the guys?
You did not.
Yes, I'm telling you. I'm going to find it.
Come on.
I'm telling you.
Come on.
This is what happens. You let them vote. You let them drive. The next thing you know, they're in MLB The Game.
Yeah.
You think that dude at any time in his life has ever said, why isn't there a White History Month?
I don't know if this is a parody account or not. The tweet was, you can't let dudes have one blanking thing, can you?
It's gotta be a parody, right?
Either way, it's funny.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we don't have anything.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I think he was serious if I'm looking at his account. Yeah.
Either that or he's kidding all the time.
I mean, really, really deep jokes. Not good. Not good.
Have there been females try? I mean, notably?
So there have been some college players. There have been some women that pitched in college. In fact, I just saw this story. I don't remember what level it was. It wasn't Division I, but I don't remember what it was. But the first, they've all been pitchers. All of the women that I'm aware of that played college baseball were pitchers. But there's one now that's a catcher, the first catcher ever to play men's college baseball. And I don't know if she's good or not. I haven't seen it. I just saw the story on Twitter a
you
few
see
days
the division?
Ago. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't Division I for sure. I didn't recognize the school. So it's
Is
probably
there women's
an NAIA.
Baseball to any degree?
Yeah. Yeah.
There used to be that the Colorado Silver Bullets was a thing that it was always on TV, that team, but that was like 20 years ago.
One of the girls I played hockey with was from Canada, and she played on the Canadian Women's National Baseball Team. Where exactly they play all the time, I don't know. I don't even know if it's still around because this was 20 years ago, but they did have it, and she played it. She was a pitcher, and one time she, I think, clocked 84 miles an hour, which is pretty good. But, and like I said, she's a really good athlete, ice hockey player, obviously baseball player. And the thing is that she couldn't keep up the power.
Right.
I mean, just physically to throw it that hard for anybody is impressive. But I mean, you have male baseball players.
I mean, 84 is
consistently
84 in men's baseball is probably
high school, good high school.
I mean, it's a solid high school pitcher. You might be amazing with 84 in college. Depends on how good high school. I mean, it depends on how good you are with command and all that. But 80, I mean, just to give you an idea, a couple years ago, I coached 14-year-olds. We had three or four guys throwing that hard.
Right.
At 14.
Right. That's a huge difference for her to be the very best.
Yeah.
And to hit it once for like one pitch and then the velocity.
Yeah, these were guys that could do it, you know, for a few innings at a time. So it's not like, that's a big difference is the ability to throw with velocity. And that's all because of like size, weight. You know, mass and muscle structure and bone density and all. I mean, all of these things are what play into it. But if a woman does play professional baseball, it would probably be as a pitcher. I mean, if you think about you watch college softball and you're like, they're so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impossible for me. Everything is so compressed. Like the infield's really small.
Yeah.
The pitcher feels like they're right on top of the hitter. And they can hit it, and I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they hit anything that's moving up as opposed to moving down.
I always thought, growing up, that girls played softball because it was easier. But if you see softball, fast-pitch softball, it doesn't look easier.
No.
In fact, it looks a little more difficult.
In some ways it is easier, but it's not, like, it's not easy. I mean, it's relative, right? The big difference is the size of the field. So if you're playing that with guys that are 200
faster.
But you're playing with guys that are 200 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, that fence is not very far away. That fence is pretty close. But again, it's about the average size and weight of, you know, the people that are playing.
Let me stick with you. I like something you had on the Google Doc. I think it was Elise Stefanik and
Yeah. So, you know how it is. I mean, like every time you get an election year, this is old, right? What does this go back to, like the earliest days of elections? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And Elise Stefanik asked that apparently either today or yesterday. I'm like, yeah, you know what? 4 years ago, we were in the very beginning of a pandemic and nobody knew how long the shutdown was going to be, who was going to get sick, how many people were going to die. The stock market was half of what it is right now. What a dumb question to ask now. But also, in general, I think that's a really dumb question. It sounds smart. It sounds easy. It's like, oh, well, are you better? But, you know, what could have happened in 4 years could be the result of the policies implemented before that 4 years, good or bad, right? So, like, the laws that were enacted and the policies of the president before those 4 years
It's like they all take ownership of about 6 weeks of their 4 years.
Right.
Because anything before that, it's the other guy's fault. Anything after that, they're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like no one really owns.
But what a question. Are you better off than you were essentially in the first days of a brewing pandemic? No vaccine. Nobody's going to work. Everything was airlines are shut down. I mean, like, what kind of question is that? You should be eliminated from politics for being dumb enough to even think that that's a good question.
She could be VP.
I mean, 4 years ago was probably the most uncertain time in our lifetimes. Outside of 9/11.
And probably like 4 years ago exactly almost.
Right. The shutdown was literally now.
What if you're to say like, okay, you got me. What about 5 or 6 years ago? Pre-COVID Trump.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a much better question. Are you better off than you were in 2018 or 2019? But then that requires explanations and details. And that's the problem with what I'm talking about with this idea is it is such a generic catch-all that it is meaningless. Because if we're going to go back to 2018, well, then how much of what happened in 2016, 2017, and 2018 was the result of the president, Trump, or the policies that were in place when he took over? I mean, like, that's the problem with all of it, is that it doesn't just like, okay, boom, president's gone, his policies are gone, new president. They're all blended. They're all, and that's why I hate this kind of simplistic political messaging. And I don't care who it is. If somebody in the Biden campaign were to say that, you know, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? It's stupid.
I just want people to be consistent and honest. And I was with some people recently who are very smart, very successful Trump people. And they were saying, well, I'll be honest with you. I really like the way my 401k looked under Trump. And I'm like, I'll be honest with you. I like the way mine looks better under Biden.
I mean, so the Dow.
We hit 39,000.
Yeah, in March when the pandemic was hitting, the Dow was 21,000. It's 39,000 right now. So if you have investments, if you have 401ks, if you have, they're much, much better than they were four years ago.
There's just so much that goes into it because you could have asked the question and in 1944 and say, were you better off
right.
in 1939? Because guess what? The economy was a lot better in 1944
and there was no
1945.
World War.
Right. Coming out of the Depression. And you could say, like, see what the World War did. It, you know, it really
that's why I don't
the
like
economy.
It.
There's just so much that goes into it.
Well, you can't make the assessment without taking the pandemic is not like a, oh, forget the pandemic.
Right.
Are you better? Well,
it was nobody's
can't.
Fault either. It just happened.
Yes.
What do you guys think of this? I thought of this the other night, and I might just be factually wrong, but had Trump, I feel like if Trump had won the election, actually won the 2020 election and stayed in office, that we wouldn't have all this anti-vaxxing, that he would have owned it and he would have bragged about it and he would have said, light speed, only I could do this. Everyone go get the vax. Everyone would have gone and get the vaccination if he told them to.
He was doing that when he was in.
And COVID would have been a lot less than what it was.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement or am I missing a part?
It's an interesting question because, one, you could argue that there might be less or zero anti-vax sentiment, and two, we would be done with Trump, but I don't know what would have happened in the interim, the danger in the interim.
Well, there are plenty of anti-vax on the left, too.
I'm talking just the vaccine.
Yeah.
I feel like had Trump won, because that was right around the time that they developed the vaccine.
It was 2020, December 2020.
He would have owned it.
Yeah.
Operation Warp Speed.
And he would have bragged about it, and none of his people would have been anti-vax. They would have been super pro-vax.
He still has bragged about it. He's like, I'm the one that did that.
That's
look,
when he
they
got
did.
Booed.
Well, yeah,
booed at his own rally for bragging about Operation Lightspeed. And I think you're right, Dave. I think if he had won again, the message would have been continuous. I'm not saying
Trump killed hundreds of thousands of people or whatever. I'm just saying that people probably died because of the lack of vaccinations, because he didn't win and own it, and his people adopted.
I think it's a little more complicated than that, though it's part of it. The real problem starts initially in March, April, when we started to, of 2020, when we started to treat it seriously. I thought, okay, good, we're going to handle this thing right, and then we'll come out on the other end better. But then it wasn't very long, probably within a month, before he started the, we need to open back up again. This thing isn't that big of a deal. The moment you start that, you give all these other political operatives the opportunity to jump on that. And once you've created that messaging for months before the vaccine comes out, you're telling people this thing is not that big of a deal, but you should get vaccinated for it. Well, that's a hard sell. I think he already ruined the environment. He poisoned the water before we even got to the point of the vaccine.
You see the guy that's had 217 vaccinations?
I did see that German guy, yeah. You know, it's funny because they studied him, right? And they found out that he got no added benefit by doing any of that.
They said he's not more immune or less immune.
Right, he's
and
just
the same.
And I'm
not sure how I feel about that.
Well, no, but that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Right? More of it doesn't make it better.
Right.
Right.
I don't know how he did it.
I don't know, but it's an average
going two times a day sometimes.
I mean, I feel like CVS would tell me no.
Like, did he go to different places every time?
Because what a strange thing to steal.
Yeah, I'll tell you when I've had enough.
I'm not clear. Was he working with researchers, or did they just study him after the fact?
No, he's being charged.
I think there's a fraud
investigation going on.
So he basically did this because he had something wrong.
You're right.
Or was he trying to prove a point?
No, I think he's got something wrong.
Yeah, it was an average of one every 4 days.
I'm like, are you achy? Because I didn't feel horrible after the vaccine, but I wasn't like, oh boy, can't wait to get another one.
Did he get COVID?
No.
Well,
but the people that have studied him are like, well, you know, we don't know what his behaviors were either. Did he never leave his house?
Do you guys think we should carry this? Mitch McConnell's about to speak after he just endorsed the president. For a minute, I thought he was walking down the hallway, so I thought we had about 8 minutes. But we'll go ahead and take a break. Maybe he'll say something interesting. 125 DGS. Jim Talon's going to be with us at 2. I'm going to straight up ask him if he, like everyone else, is endorsing Trump, and if so, why and how and all this kind of stuff. So that should be interesting. Our own Andrew, the original character, I found yet another role that he fills in life. He is the microwave menace.
Yeah. I'm a hog, man. I'm trying to think I'm a hog.
Here?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Can't really hog the microwave in your own house.
Well, I don't know. Maybe his wife is, like, frustrated.
Well, that's true. Could be. Could be.
Although, I'm constantly microwaving silverware.
In your defense, because you put your frozen meal in for, like, 3.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And during that time, I had another family. And, like,
you visited Ronja's family?
If I'm diagnosed with a terminal disease, I'm just going to watch you microwave Fit Meals. Because there's something going wrong with the time, space-time continuum there.
Well, first of all, you're giving me too much credit. They're not Fit Meals. They're not the healthy frozen meals.
I tried to help you out.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, but we got to call it like we see it.
But aren't you extra menacing, though, because everybody has the same 3 minutes at the top of the hour to go to the bathroom and make food separately?
You probably get something you have to stop and stir it and put it back in.
That's pretty much every frozen
thing.
That's
all of the frozen things. Also, Amy, no one's using the microwave on their top of the hour air break.
I would.
No one's microwave.
You never once have.
I know, this is a gross microwave.
Is this gross? I had a hot dog to microwave 30 seconds, and he was still at about 14 minutes. And I said, here's what I'll do. I'll just put my hot dog in with yours.
Oh.
And I did.
Yeah it didn't bother
But then
me.
I felt kind of bad, like, oh, it's going to make his stink like hot dog.
No, it didn't. Also, that's fine.
Rach, that's a plus.
Andrew likes hot dogs.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, and he said it's just going to make both of them, you know, slower to heat up.
She said the more food you put in, the longer it's going to take.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what I understand.
Correct. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard. And also, ours isn't nice enough in the kitchen to, like,
nice
rotate.
Enough.
It doesn't spin.
It doesn't spin. So, no. Like,
dude, we don't have toilet paper.
That's true. That's true. The janitors are bringing in toilet paper from home. For
actually, you know, microwaves.
I'm regretting that hot dog.
Microwaves are pretty high in investments.
Yeah.
I think I have four. I'll bring one.
I think the one I bought my kid in college was $40.
But I do think we feel bad.
And she still has it.
There was a line.
Yeah.
There was a line. There was like three people who wanted to use it. And I felt bad because
Colin, who protects us from stalkers, wanted to warm up a donut for 15 seconds. And Andrew's like, I got like 4 minutes left.
I did. Four people then, because it was me, you,
because then he pulls it out, runs,
Kevin,
and he stirs it.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, follows
and then puts it back in.
You got to follow the directions.
So that was a false summit for all those people waiting.
Oh, yeah.
They were warned. I said, I was like, hey, just so you know, I got like
another 90 seconds.
This thing's going to go off in 30 seconds, but then I got another 2 minutes after that.
I want you to let me finish before you answer this question, because during the early part of the pandemic.
I'm not letting you finish it all.
Come on.
Go ahead.
During the early part of the pandemic, did you ever take toilet paper from the office home to you?
Oh, no. Because we didn't have any here.
Is that why?
Well, no, it's not why. But I'm saying, like, we didn't have any. We honestly had the same problem that everybody else did with stocking the shelves. In fact, I think we might have been bringing in our own toilet paper, because you guys found a couple of steals. Mm-hmm. That you took advantage of. I think you guys might have supplied us.
And we used some old 97.1 t-shirts. Yeah. So 135 DGS on KMOX. Jim Talent coming up at 2 p.m. Later on in the show, Matt Pauley is going to join us, and we'll talk everything Cardinals and Jupiter. Speaking of sports, I had a thought today. Russell Wilson is being credited, blamed for the worst signing of all time. And the Denver Broncos were just so stupid, and they paid him so much money, and he sucked, and now he's free agent, and he's sitting on $100 million, whatever. And I'm getting pisser and pisser at Russell Wilson. And then I realize, okay, let's think about this. I am 100% sure that Russell Wilson tried as hard as he could in every game, every play, off season. He did everything the right way. He has a certain amount of talent. He has a certain amount of talent around him. I'm sure he played his best. I don't know that anyone's going to accuse him of being lazy. And he was still one of the best 32 people at what he does. He's probably really nice to his family. He's probably really nice to his wife. He seems very in love. And yet we just crap all over people because they don't live up to what we want them to in a completely made up pretend world of a game.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with him is he is so cringy. He's just a very cringy dude.
Like, so, come like, on, boys, we can do it, kind of.
No, I mean, like, the photo shoots and the, I don't know.
Yeah, but he's done,
like,
yeah,
he seems like an okay guy.
He's not a bad guy. Like, he's not out there hitting his wife. He's not out there getting in fights in the bars. He's not doing.
That's
no, I'm just saying, like, in the NFL, that's
nice
existed,
not-
which is why it was a reference.
What was
because
the thing
that happens, but it's not. He's not that guy.
What was he calling himself? Mr. Something? Mr.
Oh, now you're about to change
my
mind.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I
you
do.
Know.
I do.
What is it?
It was like,
something really stupid.
Was it like Mr. W or something? Like
no.
Mr. Wynn?
I'll figure it out. But it was really cringy. I think that's the problem with Russell. He hasn't done anything wrong.
No.
What are the photo Otherwise, shoots?
I don't know, just weird photos.
Like, Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited. Oh.
Mr.
That's
Unlimited.
It.
Which
like, what
is
does
like,
it even mean?
Sounds like a Verizon ad.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So bad.
I'm with you on this, Dave, though. I think that there are very few professional athletes that are just not trying. Right?
Yeah, and, we get so angry.
And they get paid at the time because... And by the way, I would like to hear from all of the people that hate him now that said it was a terrible deal when they signed it. I don't think it was a good deal. I think it was a they gave up a lot in the draft to get him, and then they gave him $245 million contract, and they're going to take an $85 million
cap
hit.
Money. Woof.
Yeah, so they're
which
gonna,
is the that, highest
which,
ever.
Which basically means they can't spend that amount on their roster. He doesn't get all that in cash, but he gets a certain amount of cash. But this is entirely on the management team that traded for him.
Yep.
I mean,
what's he supposed to say? No.
Right. What is he supposed to do? Just like this is the thing that drives me craziest about a certain type of sports fan. It's like he should just retire and not take the money. Like, yeah, because you would do that.
Right.
Is that the average sports fan? Or is that just what you're used to being a call-in sports guy?
Wouldn't you
guy?
Agree, Ronj? That's kind of like there's like. Maybe, I don't know, it's like 15-20% of the fan of
I bet
general sports
that,
fans that are that guy.
I think it's higher than 15-20,
you think?
But it's
maybe
it's not most. It's not most people.
Yeah, I think most people are reasonable. Like if you're guaranteed money, are you going to give it back?
No.
No.
Especially when it's the money of a billionaire owner. Like it's either going to I understand cuz fans are thinking, well, this is bad for my team, and I care about the team, so if they don't have this money to spend, and they don't have these draft picks that we used, well, now we can't be good for 5 to 10 years.
Speaking of billionaires, did you see the Trump and Musk meeting?
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
Of course. About
Although,
what?
Musk is Musk, but Musk says he's not going to give money to either Biden or Trump. However, Trump is meeting with him and supposedly looking for a big infusion of cash.
I mean, Elon's pretty good at bad investments.
He really is, isn't he? I could see it, and he's mercurial.
Now, that one might not be a bad investment, though, because if Trump wins and you've given him money, you probably have an opportunity to gain some, at least, influence, right?
Get your thought on this. John Stewart, this is supposedly a quote from him, if not pretend it is, because it's an interesting thought, that there should be a draft where every young American person has to do 1 year of something, military, public service, working for the people, something so that we all feel invested in the same game, because that's the part that we've lost, that we're no longer bonded as Americans. I know Israel has mandatory military service. I don't know that I want to see that, but it's not the worst idea in the world, I think, because I do feel like Trump said the other day, we've never been more unified, and I don't know that I'm not ready to say, like, this is the worst it's ever been, and we're headed to civil war, but I do think there are fewer people, quote-unquote, in on the country than there ever have been. There are people out there dressed as Uncle Sam, you know, with big signs on overpasses and such, but I don't equate that to being a patriot.
That's not patriotism.
That's cosplay.
Yeah. I would agree that some kind of public service everybody should do at some point in their lives for at least a year. I would agree with that. Because I always say that I think one of the biggest problems is the lack of empathy most people have. And not like that would fix all of it, but it might get you to at least put yourself in the place of somebody who has to deal in service or has to deal with other people so that maybe you can understand where they are coming from and say, oh, wow, job like this kind of sucks. And maybe everything isn't great all the time. So I think it would be good to.
Would it be worth subsidizing through taxes? I'm thinking like, so Phoebe has to pick a year before she turns 22. And she decides she wants to go work for Operation Food Search. And the federal government's going to pay her whatever, $15 an hour, minimum wage, what have you, to do this service. Would it be important enough to you guys to say, yeah, I'll go for that?
I'd have no problem with it.
I don't like the compulsory part of it, to be honest with you. I mean,
I think it'd be good for us.
I understand. But like somebody that's going to go pursue a medical degree, they're going to take a year away. Somebody that is, you know,
you could argue that's service.
Well, no, I agree. But then what about somebody that wants to go to law school? Then what about somebody that is going to be a first round draft pick in the NFL? They have to give up a year of their prime career time.
I think that's why it's sacrifice.
And you have to build the society. Like South Korea has 2 years compulsory military service, and that encompasses a lot of things. It's not just learning how to fight and going to the DMZ or whatever. It also includes the, you know, public service side of what, you know, any army or military does. And the way that you build your career, the way that your career works and the way that you're going to college works, you build all of that stuff around. It's like 2 years by the time I think you're 30, you have to go in. You have to be finished by the time you're 30 is, I think, how it works. Yeah. So you can choose to go to college, start your career, then put that on hold and go in. Or you can go straight in out of high school like a lot of people do your time, and then the colleges will accept you and the law schools and the med schools, and then you can kind of build your career from there.
But that's out of necessity for them. They need people in uniform just in case. We don't need that. In fact, I think the idea, Dave, it doesn't have to be military service. It could be a lot of other things. I would think our military brass would hate that.
What
to have a bunch of newbies every year to throw into duties that they don't know how to do?
I'm a college denier, so I don't think you learn much in college unless you really try, and no one makes you try.
Right.
But when we were in a couple of universities with Phoebe, and the people were leading us around, I heard one girl say, oh, you don't like math? And Phoebe's like, no. And she's like, good news, you don't have to take a single math class here. And I was like, okay. My point is, what if they made that 1 year of your college? Feeling better about
the public
it?
Service?
Yes.
I mean, we didn't need that 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, but now all of a sudden we do. Can we fix this through that means? Because something's broken. And like, if we didn't need it before and we do now, maybe we need to fix the things that caused that change.
What do you think those could be?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's the way that information spreads so quickly and easily, and both real information and misinformation. And then you throw in the fact that now people that are in positions of power are not bound to the truth at all. They don't know. And I'm not picking on any one group of people in particular.
Maybe I'm sort of a horses out of the barn kind of guy.
Okay.
I'm more of a poison
like
well kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe rather than trying to resurrect something, maybe we need to build towards something new.
It's a good way to look different. At it. Yeah, good point.
That the Phoebes and the Rachels and the Andrews of the world can rally around for the next 50 years.
Yeah. Do we all have to do it? And I don't mean, what I mean is like, do we all have to do it now too? As a show of goodwill, we're not just putting this on the youngs.
Sure.
We all have to do it too.
Doubtful. I think it's something that you would probably create, but I think it would be wonderful if people did.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I also wonder if that, I'm just thinking out loud, like if I'm a 22-year-old, I'm like, oh, great. So you guys never had to do this, but you're going to make me do it? Real fair, thanks.
Certainly for the people, not just to conflate or to start a fight, but the people, if they do end up getting their student loans reduced or taken away, you definitely should. And I agree with Ranj that even if someone my age either was given time off, hey, Dave, we're going to give you 6 weeks, the federal government's going to subsidize it or what have you, I think we could all use a big dose of empathy.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
That would be great, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, some form of leave, maybe it's what you're saying, maybe it's less, maybe it's more, but that'd be nice.
And it could be life-changing, because I've always said that there should be no senior year of high school. It should all be internships. And had I spent a week following a lawyer around, I would have never gone to law school.
That's a good point.
But had I spent a week doing something else, I might have fallen in love with the service industry in some way. 152 DGS. In the last segment, I was talking about John Stewart's idea to have everyone in the United States do 1 year of some kind of service, mandatory service, whether it's military or you're serving the poor, or you're, you know, whatever it happens to be. Myron has a thought on this on line one. Myron, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I want to truth in advertising. I am a retired military person, so that may skew my perspective just slightly. But first of all, I wanted to mention that you mentioned about the requirements of meeting our recruiting. We're always down. We need more volunteers to go out and volunteer for the military. I can tell you from my experience, by meeting people with different walks of life has made me a better person and make me appreciate America much more. We need to do that. We're talking about training people every year, every 2 years or so. Not all jobs would be suitable for the program. It would be jobs that you could probably be trained into in probably 6 months or less with a 2 year payback, and then you could either get benefits because you were in this particular program, military or civilian, and you maybe get some breaks on your student loans if you were to go to underserved areas and can still contribute beyond the compulsory service. I just wanted to offer that and tell you guys I love your program, and keep it going.
Thank you, Byron. Thanks for your service. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, especially with that, I wonder how much it would help or how much chaos it would create if it was just a bunch of people 1 year and out like we were talking about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you always need more people that are bought in for the longer term.
Even if you served the service.
Good point. If there was like a separate,
yes,
almost like the USO kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
I really do like the idea of last year of school or last semester of school, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like of high school.
Well, he said a word, too, there that I think is really important because we've talked a lot about empathy. But I also think gratitude is a big thing as well. It's easy to take for granted the freedoms that we have here. For many of us, the relative prosperity that we have compared to countries where there is a level of poverty that, for the most part, we don't see, and especially not those numbers in this country. So I think empathy and also gratitude. And it doesn't mean being grateful doesn't mean you can't improve it, but it also means that you're not walking around disdaining what's not perfect.
If your senior year of high school or your freshman year of college, you did an unpaid internship and you got credit, college credit, there's your payoff, or the government subsidizes and pays you whatever it is an hour to do it, but you have to do it. I don't know. I like this more and more. Maybe because I'm out of the age where I don't have to do it. But I think it would have done me a ton of good to have done it. And I certainly could have spared the year.